Dateline, June 9, 2011. Liberate the Pachinko Parlor. Say it, but video game remakes are here to stay. Fans love remakes because they get to play their favorite games again with the perspective of a newcomer. Publishers love remakes because they allow the company to treat an established hit from the past as a new release. Furthermore, strangers to the original work see remakes as a perfect entry point to a title they've heard about for years, decades even, but never played before. Video game remakes also offer an opportunity to solve a problem unique to this medium, in that software ages incredibly fast. There are games less than 10 years old which, due to their reliance on a specific platform, are now unavailable to play without acquiring the original hardware and a physical copy of the data. Remakes also enable publishers to realign a popular game to meet the ever-shifting expectations of audiences. Obviously, this includes graphical improvements, as cutting-edge 3D models in 1998 now look behind the times. But the interactive nature of games means that control options may also require an overhaul. Software made for a 90s PC might have asked players to dance their fingers over a dozen different keys to operate a game, but that's not going to fly with console owners sitting on their couch holding a DualSense. Unfortunately, this creates an awkward situation where a number of fans come to anticipate or even insist that an old game must be remade. You can type "needs a remake" into Google or any social media platform and find hundreds of examples, ranging from 30-year-old hits to modern titles already widely available on every platform. For the record, I'm as guilty of this behavior as anyone else, as I'm quite pleased by the recent announcement that Capcom will finally deliver a new version of Resident Evil Code Veronica in 2027. I love the original, but I no longer have a working Dreamcast. The so-called HD remasters look washed out, and a certain major plot point results in my hero, Claire Redfield, uttering borderline hate speech. This brings us to the subject of today's column, a PlayStation 3 exclusive released 15 years ago that has never seen a subsequent port, re-release, or remake. Its launch, marred by circumstances beyond anyone's control, Yakuza Dead Souls has languished in relative obscurity despite featuring well-loved characters, a detailed recreation of Tokyo's red light district, and hordes of zombies. Set 1 year following the events of Yakuza 4, Dead Souls continues Sega's ever-evolving soap opera-slash-crime drama set in Kamurocho, a fictionalized version of Kabukicho in Tokyo. The story opens with frequent series protagonist Kazuma Kiryu overseeing an orphanage far from the capital. But one sinister phone call summons him back into action. Cut to the other end of the line, and we see Kamurocho in ruins with what looks like zombies walking the streets. Time rewinds a bit, and Kamurocho seems perfectly normal, although the camera finds one man suspiciously stumbling about amongst the crowds. Passersby look on with concern before the stranger retches onto the pavement, sending everyone scattering. Shun Akiyama, a new protagonist who debuted in Yakuza 4, laughs it off and continues his carefree stroll around town. From his perspective, salarymen puking in public is business as usual. As Akiyama and his assistant Hana meet up to collect money from debtors, the camera once again finds an out-of-place pedestrian and follows him into a narrow hallway. A tough guy intercepts the ashen-skinned man in front of an elevator and asks him to identify himself, but he responds by biting the ersatz receptionist in the neck. That elevator leads straight to a small operation run by the Yakuza, where they watch the bloodshed below unfold on a security camera. They greet the intruder with a hail of bullets when he dares to step into their office, but the man doesn't budge despite multiple direct hits. If anything, getting shot a dozen times has made him angry. Even in a neighborhood as seedy as Kamurocho, the sound of gunfire causes a stir at the street level, as onlookers start to gather and gaze at the ruckus five floors up. When a gangster takes a dive out the window only to stand up again, the cops rush in to secure the scene and aid what they think is a victim. They didn't count on the guy to bare fangs and go for their jugular. Akiyama just so happens to witness this chain of events, and he picks up a firearm to try and dissuade any further violence. His bid fails when even more gangsters come crashing to the ground with red in their eyes and blood on their designer suits. Akiyama and Hana flee in different directions as both the Yakuza and the newly transformed cops chase him into a dead end, leaving Akiyama no choice but to pull the trigger. At this point, Yakuza Dead Souls offers a quick combat tutorial to ease players into gunplay. Previous games in the series have included firearms as potential weapons, but in Dead Souls, shooting takes priority over brawling from minute one. Akiyama starts with a simple handgun that never runs out of bullets, although he still must reload it once he empties a clip. The shooting controls in Dead Souls take some getting used to. Pressing R1 automatically fires at the nearest target, a good way to pick off stragglers while running. Holding L1 locks the camera behind Akiyama, offering a bit more precision since you can use the right stick to steer him in different directions. Holding L2 plants his feet on the ground so he can take careful aim, although you can only do so with the left stick. The right stick does nothing. It doesn't take long for Akiyama to stumble onto an entire cache of artillery hidden inside an illicit DVD shop. These other guns offer more power or a faster rate of fire, but they also consume ammo, which takes up inventory space. Additional protagonists, once unlocked, also sport their own distinct weapons. Notably, Ryuji Goda has replaced his right forearm with a Gatling gun, a fact made slightly more unusual due to his on-screen death in Yakuza 2. In fact, Goda's presence in Dead Souls raises even more questions about its status in the series canon than all the zombies in Devastation. In a 2011 interview with 4Gamer.net, producer Masayoshi Kikuchi refused to call Dead Souls a spin-off, instead coyly suggesting that players would have to wait until the next game to see what, if anything, from this story would endure. "We might stick with the zombie outbreak setting," Kikuchi said, "or we might move on as if it never happened." Whatever its relationship with the larger Yakuza narrative, Dead Souls carries forward the spirit of the franchise with its sense of humor. Kamurocho may be overrun with zombies, but there are still offbeat characters trying to make a quick buck and hapless citizens in need of urgent aid. Players have the option to seek out side quests to make extra cash and have a laugh while leaving the main story on hold. For example, in between missions, I ran into a doctor friend who asked me to help him track down a missing patient named Tsujimura. We searched underground until we reached Tsujimura's last known location, a basement packed with zombies. Akiyama assumes the worst, but then a man wrapped head to toe in bandages runs forward, begging for his life. Turns out Tsujimura managed to survive thanks to his clever zombie disguise. Akiyama points out that Tsujimura is dressed like a mummy, not a zombie. And only at that moment do the zombies suddenly notice the interloper amongst their midst. Sega first announced Yakuza Dead Souls as Ryuga Gotoku of the End back in 2010, shortly after the Japanese release of Yakuza 4. At the Tokyo Game Show that September, cosplayers dressed as hostesses armed with guns and zombies posed for photos in front of Sega's booth. The initial press reaction was one of bewilderment, as reporters speculated if "of the end" meant the series had run its course. Visiting writers from overseas wondered if this new release would count as Yakuza 5, or if Sega wanted to steer the franchise into Resident Evil territory. Adding to this confusion, Sega maintained a significant gap between Japanese and global Yakuza releases in this era, revealing and launching games in Japan, then waiting months to address when or if the company would localize them. 2010's international version of Yakuza 3 also made headlines when Sega opted to remove a number of hard-to-translate elements, including the hostess clubs. Whatever their plans for other territories, Sega set their sights on March 17, 2011 to release this new Yakuza title. The lead-up to launch included numerous corporate tie-ins, as the developers include plenty of real-life brands on the streets and signs of Kamurocho. Sega likewise planned a fan meeting for Of the End in Kabukicho, completing the cycle of hyper-realism. Everything changed on March 11, 2011, at 2:46 p.m., when a major earthquake rocked northeastern Japan. The undersea tremor, Japan's strongest ever recorded, shook buildings as far away as Kyushu in the southwest. A resulting tsunami rocked the nation's eastern seaboard and made waves across the entire Pacific, killing thousands and forcing at least 300,000 people to evacuate. The metaphorical wake of the crisis forced Japanese companies to shuffle their schedules, as the entire country entered a kind of mourning period. Advertisers pulled commercials from the air. Sports leagues postponed or canceled matches by the dozens. And any media deemed inappropriate to the current social climate quickly disappeared. In a March 14 statement, Sega said the company considered various factors in opting to delay Of the End's release. Nothing in the game concerns any natural disaster, but no one wanted to publicize a wacky adventure in Tokyo featuring ample imagery of a ruined metropolis alongside actual news footage of cities reduced to rubble. When Of the End finally came out on June 9, 2011, Sega packaged it with stickers that read, "Hang in there, Japan," and pledged to donate a portion of the proceeds to the Japanese Red Cross Society. Japanese audiences and critics welcomed Of the End once it hit store shelves. Weekly Famitsu rated it a 37 out of 40, good enough to qualify for their Platinum Award. Retail data tells us that Of the End moved about 300,000 copies at launch and 400,000 copies for the year. Ultimately, Sega did rebrand the game as Yakuza Dead Souls and released it worldwide in 2012 to a much cooler reception. English-speaking critics derided the shooting mechanics as subpar, and viewed the switch from fisticuffs to firearms as a mistake. In a 5 out of 10 review for IGN, Keza McDonald called the gunplay horrible, declaring, quote, "Yakuza Dead Souls is a good game ruined by broken mechanics. Its story, scripting, and sense of humor can't make up for that," end quote. For GameSpot, Carolyn Pettit gave Dead Souls 5.5 out of 10, writing that the combat tops out as, quote, "inoffensive but unremarkable," end quote. Before adding, quote, "at its worst, it's tedious and infuriating," end quote. I didn't pay much attention to Yakuza Dead Souls upon its initial release for two reasons. First, and most importantly, I didn't speak enough Japanese to enjoy story-heavy games without English text. And back then, Japanese companies never ever shipped domestic games with foreign localizations like they do today. Second, I downloaded a pre-release demo for my PlayStation 3 and could not abide the awkward action, convincing me to ignore the full game in any language. Giving zombified Commodore Cho a second chance 15 years later, I find myself in a much more generous mood. I still find the choice of control options head-scratching, considering how much better aiming and shooting feels in numerous other games from that era, but it's far from intolerable. You're still able to pick up random objects and wield them in self-defense. Only Dead Souls adds a chainsaw into the mix. Can you really tell me you don't want to patrol Tokyo with one of those bad boys? In fact, that invites a particular comparison for me. Yakuza Dead Souls feels closer to a Grand Theft Auto game than any previous entry, because it lets you shoot and swing away without restraint. Normally, Yakuza games restrict combat to specific encounters. You can run Kiryu into convenience store shelves to trash the place, but you can't throw even a single punch at a civilian. Dead Souls, however, populates Commodore Cho with waves of the undead, and mowing them down en masse benefits your character in the form of experience points. This change transforms unrestrained, indiscriminate violence from forbidden into advantageous. I don't think Yakuza Dead Souls offers much to charm dedicated shooter fans, but if you want to dabble in virtual tourism topped with a hearty helping of zombies, I can't think of a better game to recommend. Just know that the only way into Commodore Cho's quarantine zone at this point requires a working PlayStation 3 console. Considering Sega's ongoing efforts to remake and port the Yakuza / Like a Dragon series to as many platforms as possible, Dead Souls deserves a reappraisal. Kiryu, Majima, and Commodore Cho have more fans today than ever before. With all due respect to Kessel McDonald, I believe having an emotional connection to these characters and this world does indeed make up for a lot of Dead Souls' shortcomings. Does Yakuza Dead Souls need a remake? The graphics and story hold up just fine, but the PlayStation 3 is a finicky machine. The sluggish controls likewise remain a bugbear. A new version would go a long way towards mending the game's weaker elements, especially on PC, where modders can fiddle with minutiae to unlock even more input options. Hell, an enterprising fan might even lock the camera in place and turn Dead Souls into a Resident Evil-like experience. For me, the best remakes widen the tent and court more players, while also encouraging curious parties to go back and appreciate the original. That's not always possible in the gaming world, much to my frustration. I'd argue that given the tumultuous situation surrounding its launch, Yakuza Dead Souls makes a strong case for getting a second chance. Sega can even come up with a better English title this time. I nominate Like a Dragon of the Dead. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and when I'm not writing or podcasting, I'm updating my website, fightclub.me. That's FEITCLUB.ME. Good night!